to the Human Services Licensing and Policy Committee. Today is March 15th, 2022, and for the record, we do have a quorum. Our first bill today will be Senator Utke, Senate File 2968. Welcome to the committee, Senator Utke. And for the staff and committee support, today is probably the last day that I'll be running a committee, so I brought some donuts to celebrate last gavel day. Senator Utke, welcome to the committee. Would you please move your bill and begin your presentation? And for the record, if Council, Senator Utke, when you're done with your presentation, if Council could guide us to the sections that are relevant to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And is this mic on? Because I wasn't hearing our front mic either in this location. But anyhow, I'll go forward with this if you're all hearing me. So that's good. Good morning. We have all heard from our constituents about the crisis that is worsening by the day for the disability service providers. With direct support professional vacancy rates exceeding 30%, providers are working week by week, day by day to ensure that shifts are covered and people are being safely supported. It is critical that we look at the workforce crisis from multiple angles. There is no one size fits all that will fix the workforce challenges. Senate File 2968 is a broad, immediate workforce relief bill that proposes multiple ideas of ways we can retain the staff we currently have, incentivize new people into the workforce, and in the case of the two provisions in front of this committee this morning, utilize supportive technology to supplement staff when appropriate. Section 1 and 2 of Senate File 2968 propose removing a requirement for 245D providers to obtain a separate license or variance when supporting individuals through alternative overnight supervision during the sleep hours. Removing this requirement will take away undue barriers and administrative duplication that providers currently face and help expand this option to more people across the state. Madam Chair and members with me this morning, I have Sarah Grastrom, and I would like to turn it over to her for further testimony on this bill that's before us.
Thank you, Senator Utke, and I had requested Council point out the sections, but I believe you covered it, sections 1 and 2.
That is correct.
Thank you.
That's the part that affects the licensing.
So thank you, Ms. Grafstrom. If you could give a broad description of the problem we're trying to solve, and then we'll move to sections 1 and 2. Okay.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Sarah Grafstrom. I am the Director of State and Federal Policy with ARM, the Trade Association of Residential Service Providers, supporting people with disabilities. As Senator Utke shared, our providers are past a workforce crisis, and while organizations are working week by week and day by day to ensure that shifts are filled to the minimum requirements, there are some that simply can't make it work, resulting in what is becoming an all too common occurrence of programs or homes shutting down. In a recent presentation in front of the Senate Human Service Reform and Finance Committee, the Commissioner of Human Services reported the startling statistic that in 2021, 90 people were impacted by group home closures. Now, just 2 months into 2022, 59 people have already been impacted. That's almost one person per day, and what we fear to be just the tip of the iceberg. Statistics like the one I just shared are why we are bringing forward Senate File 2968, a bill that contains immediate workforce relief proposals that, as Senator Utke shared, look to retain and incentivize staff to our field and expand the use of technology, allowing providers to utilize the staff we do have in the most efficient way. Sections 1 and 2 of this bill remove the need for a licensed 245D provider to obtain a separate license or variance in order to support people during the overnight hours through supportive technology, otherwise known as alternative overnight supervision. It's important to note that the same provider can utilize the same supportive technology during the day without the need for a separate license. This separate license is just in place for the overnight hours. This requirement went into place about 14 years ago established by a small working group who were tasked with getting this service off the ground. At that time, the utilization of technology to support people with disabilities was a new concept. Think how things have changed in 14 years. We now know that technology is a critical part of the services we provide to people with disabilities, and it can help promote independence and be a great resource in a time of growing worker shortages. We have seen the use of technology grow. We have seen the technology that is available drastically change and improve, yet the requirements put in place over 14 years ago remain the same. In your packets, you have a handout that lays out what is currently required in the alternative overnight supervision license and compares those requirements to other regulations that are applicable to providers. As you can see, this license requirement is duplicative to many of the other requirements that providers currently follow. We've included this provision in our immediate workforce bill because when it comes to staffing shortages, the use of technology is an underused tool. Removing this administrative barrier will help expand the use of this service and relieve some of the pressure we have in filling overnight shifts. As I close, I do want to share that we have had multiple meetings with both the policy and licensing departments of the Department of Human Services around this proposal, and we continue to discuss and work through technical assistance that DHS licensing is proposing to add to 245D if the separate AOST license requirement is removed. We are eager to continue working with Senator Uckey and the department on their proposed additional language. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, members. And questions from Ms. Grafstrom? Seeing no questions, is the department available to comment if there's controversy associated with this? I'd like to know it now.
Hey, good morning, Chair Benson. This is Temple. Chris Zempel, Legislative Director for Operations with the Department of Human Services. As Ms. Grafstrom said, we've been in communication with her working on technical assistance to just ensure that anything that was contained within the AOS, the separate AOST license, is then captured in the 245D licensure. So some of the important health and safety protections. And I think that we are very close in that work to finding agreement. So
thank you. Mr. Zempel, would you characterize the department as being opposed or concerned?
We had some initial concerns with outright removing the AOST license without capturing some of those protections within 245B. And I think that some of our suggestions have been well received, and we're very close to having agreed upon language. If that agreed upon language were adopted into the bill, we would not have concerns.
Senator Uckey, comments to the department's language?
With what the department is talking about, I would refer to Ms. Grafstrom, because I haven't been in on those conversations. But if you've got, as far as the way the bill is before us, does it remain workable?
Ms. Grafstrom.
Madam Chair and committee members, yeah, I think Mr. Zempel characterized it correctly. We are in conversation. I think the majority of the department's TA, we are in complete agreement on, still working through just a couple small pieces. They sent us revised language last night that we still need to review with our team and communicate with the department, but I think we're very close on finding an agreement.
Are you able to share with the committee what those items are, or do you need to go to your team first?
That would be helpful.
Yeah, Madam Chair, some of the broad items include making sure that the department is notified when technology is being used in a home. That was also a request from the advocacy community, so something we are certainly in support of, making sure that the department is tracking which homes are using this specific service. Also just some health and safety items that are included in different policy provisions, but making sure that they're also included in the overall license are some of the broad items that are in the pieces.
Thank you. I'm not seeing any hands, but are there questions from folks in the room? Senator Uckey, any closing comments?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. The only thing here is we have been working on this type of issue for, well, quite a while. Last year, we did a lot on it. This year, again, it seems to be something that comes up daily, and the workforce shortage and how are we going to address it? And this proposal does give us options. And so I think it's something that's very good. We need to think, I guess, outside the box or outside the traditional ways of doing business. And we have to be more creative, and we have to engage what we have in the world today. And with technology and some of our newer items like that, we can work smarter, not harder, as they say a lot, but we have to work smarter to get the most coverage out of the limited workforce we have. So I think this is a step in that direction. So we're looking for your support and as we move this bill forward. So thank you.
Thank you. No further comments. Senator Utke moves that Senate File 2968 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Human Services Reform.
Madam Chair, you might want somebody else to move that, because I don't think I can move your...
I apologize. You were chair. Senator Abler moves that Senate File 2968 be recommended to pass and be sent to his committee, Human Services Reform. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator Utke.
Thank you.
And you're right. I actually looked at the list right here, and I apologize, Mr. Chair. I do have a hearing in your committee tomorrow, so I will try to be more gracious tomorrow. And Senator Abler, who is on this committee, welcome, Senator Abler.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I think we're all just one day from being banished from any committee. So I was so excited that I woke up early, like to the first meeting of this committee. And I have at least, Madam Chair, the second best bill you've heard all session. And it may well be the primary, just amazing one. So the whole topic we're talking about here is how do we make any of the systems work in the face of just extreme workforce shortages? And we've been discussing those in the HSR committee quite a bit, and even some more today, where we found out that group home people are being displaced, et cetera. But this is about the alcohol drug counseling and how to help people succeed. We spend a lot of money and a lot of effort to do not as good a job as we'd like. And this bill comes from March. And it's their effort to streamline some of the challenges. And without spending any extra time, if Mr. Zerbes could just go over it, there is an amendment. And if he wants to discuss any elements about that, I would like to move Senate File 3583 to be before us. And I guess I'll move the amendment, then just so you can discuss that, and you can vote as you like, Madam Chair.
Senator Abler moves the A1 amendments. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The amendment is adopted.
And so, Madam Chair, if you would, if Mr. Zerbes could testify to what we just have adopted and the point of the bill and how it relates to this
Thank
committee.
Thank you, Mr. Zerbes. And Council, I believe you said most of the bill actually is licensing changes. And so are there any sections that are not?
Madam Chair, Section 1 is not.
Okay.
All the other sections are in your jurisdiction.
Thank you. So let's go through a comprehensive view of the bill. Mr. Zerbes, welcome to committee. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Brian Zerbes, Vice President of Policy, Compliance, and Government Relations with North Star Behavioral Health, a substance use disorder organization in Minnesota. I'm also here representing the March's Government Affairs Committee as a co-chair on that committee. So I'll be providing an overview of Senate File 3583, starting with Section 2, and I'll also be incorporating the discussion of the amendments on the A1 amendment. March has been working with the Department of Human Services on receiving technical assistance and feedback on this language. In Section 2, This section is looking at is outlining the HIV training requirements or for training materials for substance use disorder programs. The amendment is also looking to modernize or update terminology from chemical dependency to substance use disorder. In section three, what this is referring to is adding a Class A supervised living facility license for withdrawal management programs to be able to operate with a Class A license in addition to what's existing in law as a Class B license. The difference between those is Class B licenses are for non-ambulatory individuals. Class A are for ambulatory individuals. So adding this would allow more programs to be able to operate withdrawal management programs. In section four, this is adding the definition of a guest speaker to substance use disorder programs. What a guest speaker could do is they would work under the direct observation. This is a language that was added in to provide clarity that currently a qualified professional running a group would be able to have a guest speaker, someone from the outside with expertise and knowledge to come to speak to clients. For example, I myself am a licensed alcohol and drug counselor, but I'm not personally in recovery. So I could have a person that is in recovery come in to speak to clients about challenges of completing treatment and moving on. So this language would define who that guest speaker is and clarify that they would need to be under the direct observation of this of an alcohol and drug counselor. In section five, this is clarifying that in the treatment plans, that staff members that provide the treatment service need to document those services within 7 days of providing them to a client. Section six, continuing in the treatment plans, what this would do is it moves the requirements into a separate subdivision. It also touches on what's called a significant event, and it clarifies that documentation for a significant event needs to happen within 24 hours. The amendment updates to eliminate the term business hours to just be 24 hours based on feedback we received from the department. In section seven, continuing in the treatment plan area, what this seeks to do is to extend the timeline requirements for treatment plans from the current requirement is that they get completed every 7 days to extending that to every 28 days. This is based on feedback from clinicians and recognition that oftentimes in a week over week scenario, a person's the need to update a treatment plan doesn't always happen. And it also is getting closer towards requirements in the mental health world. In 245I, the minimum requirement for treatment plan updates is every 180 days. The last part of section seven is restoring some language regarding having documentation be legible, signed and dated, and it touches on late entries. It's restoring that language. Section eight, what this would do is allow a person that is discharged or completes a treatment service to be eligible for follow-up counseling services for up to 1 year. It would allow the provider to bill for those individual sessions at the same level, at the same reimbursement rate, to be up to four times per month to receive that treatment service. The amendment touches on updating the term from services to counseling. And the intent of this is recognizing that after someone completes treatment in an effort to longitudinalize care, that individuals may need intermittent services, intermittent counseling. So what the language would do is it would allow a treatment provider to do that without having the need to redo assessments, to reopen treatment plans, or documenting a review of all treatment services during that time. Section nine would require the commissioner to provide transitional support services for 6 months for, again, for an individual who has completed the treatment program and receives medical assistance. In this package, it would require the commissioner to offer a set of vouchers for recovery safe housing, for food, support, child care up to 20 hours a week, and transportation services. In regards to the transportation, there's amendment language added that would show that there's an exception for when there's not a need for the transportation, or it's not duplicate. If they already have transportation voucher, they won't get an additional one. And then additional language regarding that individuals would be eligible for this service one time per year. Lastly, in section 10, this is modifying the description of treatment services in a provider's policy and procedures manual specific to guest speakers. What this does is it requires a treatment program to outline which groups a guest speaker would be allowed to come into to present on. And again, it adds language of direct observation to indicate that a guest speaker would be working on direct observation of an alcohol and drug counselor. That concludes my testimony, Madam Chair. Thank you to you and the committee members and for Senator Apler for carrying this bill.
Thank you. And questions from members? And there's quite a fiscal cost with this bill. We are not a finance committee, so we're not going to address fiscal issues. But when it comes to licensing operations, health and safety, that would be our purview. Senator Apler.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad you mentioned the fiscal cost. And ironically, the Section 9, where most of the money is somewhat controversial anyway. And so just so the public understands my intention, and I think the committee's intention, we're trying to do all the flexibilities we can get in any arena, including SUD, to make sure that we can serve as many people as possible and have greater success. Do not want to carry a bill out of the HSR committee that's controversial to the people who are serving the community. And so we're going to work to sort that out. And I don't think there'll be a budget to fund Section 9 anyway, but just so people know. And I'm curious if the department wants to react to any of this. That would be nice, Madam Chair.
If we could hear from DHS, Mr. Zempel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris Zempel, Legislative Director for Operations at DHS. I do know that we have been working with the advocates and the authors on this bill and their larger bill as well. We have working through the concerns that the department has, and I'm only going to be able to speak to some of the concerns specifically from the licensing standpoint. I'd have to pass it off to colleagues in other parts of the department to speak to the policy and programmatic concerns. In this particular bill, we are concerned with the removal of documentation requirements from clients' records, having to document significant events, as well as requirements requiring the documents to be accurate and legible. These are important program integrity concerns. And again, we are working with the advocates and the authors on the language, and that work is ongoing, so.
And Senator Apler, any comments to Mr. Zempel's concerns?
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope that there can be a good enumeration as we go forward. And so I'm curious on page 4 about the going from weekly to 28 days. Does anybody at DHS mind that, for instance?
Mr. Zempel, I think as we're looking at it would be section 7.
Line 4.4 to 4.8.
Madam Chair, Senator Apler, I'd have to check with staff and get back to you.
That's fine.
All right, thank you.
So, Madam Chair, and just
Senator Apler,
I appreciate the attention the bill's getting, and it certainly is at least the second best bill you've heard all year. So I hope that there can be flexibility by the department in these most compelling times. We have a treatment, we have a SED system. I'll quote my colleague, Senator Eaton, we've been doing more and more things. We've had task forces, we've had every kind of, you know, big money going in, opiate things, and more people are dying. And so I hope that as we move through this process, that we can deal with what's really important and not deal with what's not important. On the 28-day question, I know specifically that with limited staff time, that if people are required to do things that are relatively meaningless in terms of the long-term success of a case, and the staff has to do more paperwork, there's less time to actually talk to the client when there's not even enough staff to go around. So that's the point of the bill, Madam Chair, and that's the point of our committee. We'll certainly work with the department, but I would like to push them back that it's not working. And I don't think we're ever gonna get to the point of no deaths from substances, but it has to be less, Madam Chair. So I would love to get to zero someday. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And sorry, Senator Abler, to speak after you.
Oh, no.
And I hadn't asked him to close. I just asked him to comment. So please, Senator
Eaton. Well, I think this is an important bill. There's parts of it that are crucial to making a difference in the substance use arena, because people just don't, they don't, going to a spa for 28 days and getting sober is not the answer. People need support and recovery. And we've really neglected that in our programs and our funding. And this bill does address that in Section 8. People need to, sometimes up to 5 years need support, but at least this one follows after 6 months. So I strongly support this, and I hope that we can get it through.
Thank you, Senator Eaton. To the department, I'm looking at Section 6 and the documentation, changes in documentation requirements. So Section 6 and following, that the department would like to maintain weekly updates, even if there's no clinical change. Is that correct, Mr. Zempel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to have to phone a friend on this one.
Okay. So, I guess, Mr. Zempel, if you would work with Senator Abler and clearly explain why we need weekly documentation if there's no clinical or treatment change, I think that would be helpful to clear. If the department doesn't want to make documentation based on the patient's needs and just based on a day of the week, then I'd like a better explanation. Then we would just like to keep it as it is. Let's see. I did have a question about the guest speaker, Senator Abler. Aren't they allowed to have guest speakers now?
Madam Chair, Mr. Zerbis can comment. I remember some discussions about that.
Mr. Zerbis?
Yeah. I think it's a matter of getting, okay, go ahead.
Madam Chair, if a licensed program has a guest speaker come in the example I gave, for example, someone in recovery coming in to speak to a group of clients, the guest speaker is not qualified to deliver a treatment service. And currently that service or that group would not be allowed to be billed. What this language would do is allow a guest speaker to come in that's, you know, for example, a person that's in long-term recovery to speak to clients about, you know, the challenges of transitioning out of treatment, re-engaging with family, et cetera. Again, under the direct observation of the alcohol and drug counselor who's running the group, documenting the group, and responsible for the oversight of the group.
So thank you. I appreciate that explanation. I understand Ms. Grom is available to explain the documentation concerns. Ms. Grom?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Christy Grom. Thank you. Christy Grom with the Department of Human Services. So I think we definitely do see some value in looking at those documentation requirements from the policy perspective. And one of the things that we really talked about with providers and in particular some of the early adopters of the 1115 SUD demonstration project was tying the documentation requirements to a person's actual level of care and their needs. So when someone has, you know, a high intensity residential services, maybe there is that requirement for weekly documentation. Whereas someone that might be at, you know, intensive outpatient, maybe it's a biweekly documentation requirement. So we kind of have a whole chart based on American Society of Addiction Medicine levels of care, and then have tied those to what the documentation requirement would be. And we're happy to continue the conversation with the stakeholders and with bill authors on this approach.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Ms. Grum. When we look at Section 6, client record documentation requirements, would the staff doing that be a licensed professional, someone who's engaged in treatment? Ms. Grum?
Madam Chair, I'm not certain. I would have to defer to licensing on that. Most of our professionals are licensed, but I'm thinking of peer specialists, for example, who might not be, but I'm not an expert in that area, so I have to defer to someone else.
Thank you. Well, I'll be at the next committee stop for this bill, so I just want to make sure that we are allowing professionals that we've gone through the trouble of creating a license for to practice their craft and document it based on the needs of the patient, not based on the needs of a chart or a statute. And so if we could work towards that language instead of date specific, let's make it based on the patient and not based on a chart, I think would be a good place to go with that documentation requirement. Any other questions about the bill? Senator Abler to close.
Thanks, and I really appreciate the comments of Senator Eaton and Senator Wicklund for carrying the bulk of this bill. We chopped it up in pieces to get it to get all the deadlines met. This is not a partisan matter in any way. This is a people matter. And Senator Benson, I appreciate you personifying a chart. It seems like the paperwork is, I will tell you in my profession, if I do great charting and lousy work, I will be getting a plaque. If I do great work on lousy charting, I will lose my license. And it is totally off the rails to think that we are become just so hypnotized to paperwork as though there's any real value in that. So we're tracking the dollars and losing the people. And so I really appreciate the committee's time. I appreciate the effort on everybody's part to cut through there. And Madam Chair, I don't mean to impugn the department for not being interested either. They have a big job in their hands, and some people are not honest. And so because of a few dishonest ones or just really bad operators, we have all these requirements in place. But while we're now facing just a dearth of individuals to serve these substance use clients, and the success rate being as low as it is, it's time to look beyond that. So. With that, Madam Chair, I'll move that Senate file 3583 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Human Services Reform.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? The motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator
Abler. Thank you, Madam
Abler.
Chair, members.
Right. And with that, our work for the day is completed and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Mm-hmm.